Hey everybody, Jason Burmis here, and we got a broadcast for you where I don't know a whole lot about the Brazilian president, Bolsonaro. I'm going to be very straight up with you. You know what? I've seen that he and Glenn Greenwald have gotten in a lot of spats. Greenwald doesn't seem to like him, but then again, I don't love everything that Glenn Greenwald does. And the bottom line is, right now, there is one upper statesman that is flat out saying, I will not be part of this quote-unquote treaty. Now, I have to be very, very careful right now. Why? Because we're on YouTube. And quite frankly, the last takedown was completely and totally absurd. YouTube's community guidelines basically say that you have to worship the WHO. Okay, period. So you can't say anything negative about the World Health Organization. And so what I'm going to do here is I've got a ton of different clips, okay, that I want to play. And I want to talk about Bolsonaro. And I want to show you in one of the clips how the media has portrayed this quote-unquote treaty that is happening in Geneva coinciding with the Davos crew. And I want to talk about blockchain. And I want to talk about the future of banking, okay? All these different things. And at the same time, really take Bolsonaro to task because, you know, he was just meeting with Elon Musk. And the way the media portrayed that is completely ridiculous as well because Elon Musk is now putting up Starlink there, which is really one of those Trojan horse civilian systems of the military-industrial complex. Now, I want to believe that Bolsonaro is a very good guy. I don't know that, but I do like what he's doing here. And quite frankly, I can't even play the clip of Bolsonaro saying that he will not join the treaty, but we will play it once we leave YouTube, and now you have the choice. That's right. First of all, thank you. If you're just tuning in, thumbs it up, subscribe, share. We still need you over here on YouTube. All the documentary films, they're free here. Okay, it's a great place to be, but we're going to be at Rockfin, and we're going to be rumbling. We're at Rockfin and we're rumbling. So when this cuts off, because we are going to have other clips that we have to play, that's where you need to go for the rest of the broadcast. And we are putting up audio versions of this, sometimes streaming live for callers to call in and putting up vidcasts over at Podbean. You can support me over at Buy Me a Coffee. The link is down below. But let's just start getting into it, okay? First of all, Rick Scott has introduced a bill to limit the powers of the WHO. Now, he's saying, quote unquote, dangerous globalist overreach. I can't say that on this platform. I'm putting that out there. We'll go into it on the other thing. Media matters. Right-wing media push conspiracy theory that U.S. is giving up national health policy sovereignty to the World Health Organization. Okay? All right? Now, I want you to think about this. Ron Johnson, who I feel has done some really great things in the past. Again, videos of him completely censored unless you were Forbes, right? You could put up actual clips of government officials if you were like Forbes or an authoritative source. If I went over it, no. So Johnson also. And here's the thing, guys. The WHO is a political organization, okay? You know, they decried what's happening in the Ukraine. Shouldn't we be worried about Russians' health and Ukrainians' health? If this is the World Health Organization, right? Come on. And I know that a lot of people are talking about the withdrawal of a dozen of Biden's sovereignty amendments to this, but they tell you already that they may revisit them later, and this won't be drafted up until discussed again until July. You see how they take these steps, right? So the media portraying Elon Musk as a supervillain in Gizmodo because he met with Brazilian bad boy Bolsonaro, okay? And again, this is really a business transaction, a military-industrial complex transaction to connect rural areas to at least Starlink systems. And now our military-industrial complex always has a back door into the Bolsonaro-verse, whether he realizes that or not. Okay, I want to put that out there, 100%. And, you know, Brazil has ended their emergency as the WHO is saying it is not over. Now, I'm going to be very careful because we love the WHO. They're the best. In fact, I'm a big WHO fan. When we're talking about the 70s rock group, that's when I'm a big WHO fan. I love the WHO. I really do. Teenage Wasteland, mwah. Who are you? You bet it. Magic Bus, can't get enough. Pinball Wizard, bring it on home. Love that stuff. Okay? Love that stuff. This is, so, again, there's a clip that I can't show you here. We're going to be showing a lot of clips. We're going to be going over some other stuff that we can do on YouTube, okay? But what you got to understand right now is what? This is how they're portraying him. You know, how did he survive? Skepticism. I can't even say the word. You know, it's basically all, you know, Bolsonaro downplays threat. He downplays you-know-what-a-cron. Again, he's horrible, this Bolsonaro. I just can't believe he's making these decisions, right? So I also would be remiss. Again, don't know that he's a great guy, but that he did survive a stabbing. Okay? I'm just saying the judge, you know, acquitted the guy that stabbed him, by the way. That's how, think about that. This guy stabs the president of your country and he gets acquitted. Just want to point that out there as well. Wow. So what we're going to do now is we're going to play this clip from the mainstream media. And, you know, it's basically all these fact checks you see on USA Today. It's parroted, parroted, parroted. But we're going to play this clip. And I want you to understand a few things. Okay?
On May 22nd, the World Health Organization will meet in Geneva to discuss how to best respond to future pandemics. Among the ideas is a U.S. proposed amendment to improve ways of detecting, reporting, and responding to public health events worldwide.
So let's just stop there. You notice that the amendments to these things are proposed by the United States. Okay, see, we proposed them. And you saw that a dozen of those proposals have now supposedly been taken out of the draft, these amendments, right? But they may revisit them later, and I assure you, they will repackage and revisit all of them later.
Some social media users are referring to this as a pandemic treaty and are using the hashtag #StopTheTreaty to voice their opposition to the amendment. On a podcast hosted by Steve Bannon, former Minnesota Representative Michelle Bachmann claimed the amendment could give the WHO control over the United States. Several Verify viewers emailed us to ask about these claims. So, let's verify.
Wow, we had people ask. So their big debunk here is going to say, no, of course not. We would have to say yes. We would have to actually ask for it. Now, ask yourself, did you ask for the help of a global organization in the past 2.5 years? Did you get a say? And these are our amendments. So you're telling me we're not going to accept our amendments?
Would the pandemic treaty give the WHO control over governments during a global health crisis? Our sources are the international health regulations, proposed amendments to the regulations, and the WHO. The international health regulations are part of an international law that outlines the responsibilities of WHO member countries, like the U.S., when there's a public health emergency. It requires that countries report what's happening and that the WHO offer assistance. Earlier this year, the U.S. proposed several amendments to the regulations based on what we learned during the COVID-19 pandemic. They include adding early warning criteria, a request to provide genetic sequence data, and outlines a time frame for when and how countries can ask the WHO for support.
See, we have to ask. And we've never asked before. And by the way, that's just some of it. It doesn't say that's all that's included. I mean, the whitewash on some of these things is out of control. But again, do you get to vote on this? And that's what you're seeing with Ron Johnson and Rick Scott saying, hey, wait a minute. Hey, wait a minute. Whoa, 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 whoa. Even if these supposed amendments are gone, you may revisit them. Let's see what the response is again.
It does not give the WHO authority over member countries. The amendment repeatedly states that countries can reject the WHO's assistance. So, no. The pandemic treaty would not give the WHO control over governments during a global health crisis.
So again, what's the mechanism to reject? And why wouldn't we accept if the amendments are ours. You understand? And that's going to move me to the Davos end of this, okay? And what I want to talk about here is the digital blockchain, okay? Because, again, some of these things we can talk about, some of them we can't. We're going to play Bolsonaro and what he has to say about the treaty once we leave YouTube. And, again, you're going to have to come to Rumble or over to Rockfin to see that, okay? But what I want people to understand is that here they're at Davos talking about what? A central bank digital currency. And at the end of the day, what we're really talking about via Davos, all right, and I want people to understand this, is the Internet of Bodies. If I type in Internet of Bodies, WEF, this is a RAND Corporation video. This is why a lot of the times I reference this RAND Corporation brain-computer interfaces document, because it's all the same thing. Look at this. When humans become cyborgs, Davos 2020. Okay, and by the way, this woman, she just gave a TED Talk. We've played this video on the show a couple times on Get Ready for the Internet of Bodies. Look, again, who's coming up? Fourth Industrial Revolution, Klaus. Here he is, Yoel Noah Harari. Yuval Noah Harari. I should get that right. The Internet of Bodies is here. So this is all moving into the direction, and again, I don't even want to play certain clips, of blockchain technology for people. Okay, let me repeat that. Blockchain technology for people. So first of all, let's go to this. This is a little dry of a clip, but this is them talking about that movement into the blockchain.
And I think we didn't talk about yet, there are two ways on central bank digital currencies. One is the wholesale piece. So basically, our interactions as a commercial bank with the central bank. And here, I would say it makes a lot of sense. This is new technology coming in. Mm-hmm. We can talk about it, advantage, disadvantage, but at the end, it's an efficiency game, and maybe it's a security game, makes a lot of sense. A completely different ball game it is when you start to talk about the retail. You know, central bank digital currency, not because it's digital. I can pay with digital with my mobile, has nothing to do with central bank digital currency. But I think the fundamental change is the underlying business model is, as I, as a retail customer, as a citizen, will have an account with the central bank. I don't have just an account with a commercial bank. I have it with the central bank, which has a lot of advantages for me. It's safe. It feels good.
It's safe and it feels good. Blockchain technology, folks, okay? And I want to repeat this. Why are they looking at things like Ripple, XRP? Because they've already had their zeros and ones scam internationally through the International Monetary Fund and special drawing rights units. And this is big because the Internet of Bodies ends up being you, okay? And universal medicine and probably some other things via, I don't know, refugee camps in war-torn countries that the World Economic Forum has actually put videos out on. And we'll get to that in a moment.
But there are some challenges with this because a central bank is ultimately, you know, it's a public office. Commercial banks are under a commercial regime. Central banks are not under a commercial regime. What about interest rates on an account like that? When things are going well, how does this look like? Oh, on a bank run, how does this look like? Is this accelerating the bank run because I have a safe account with somebody? So these are then the fundamental questions. That's why I think it's excellent to see that 90%, 87, I think, central banks are looking into that and try, and we need to figure out how that all can work. But having said what is ongoing, I think we are now, what, for 10 years, 15 years in that new technology, blockchain. We see now the market is collapsing. Okay, let's see in 5 or 10 years, something will survive. Something will survive, and I think we should all make sure we understand what that will be.
So, yeah, I'll tell you what it's going to be. It's going to be refugee camps running on blockchain technology. We just saw the XRP. Again, not something like Bitcoin that has mining and limitations. No, no, no. They're moving you in another direction. So what we're going to do here, guys, is we're going to play this video here. We're going to show you the refugee camp runs on blockchain for the World Food Program. And remember, guys, now the World Health Organization, peace is health and health is peace. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Take a look. Peace is health and or health for peace, peace for health. And it's really about the climate agenda, the hairs in the clouds. It's about the transhuman agenda. Masked as transgender, you notice the woman now has a mustache. The leaves, the bike riding, the health with the heartbeat on the shawl, the recycling, the dove of peace again, wind turbines. This is about the total control of all your life. And don't worry, we'll have a nice digital blockchain food program for you so you can get jobs and live in a nice refugee camp. This looks lovely. Let's do this. I mean, look at this. They shop at supermarkets without physical money. Isn't that great? Oh, and they give up their biometric data when they look into cameras. That's great. There's an iris scanner that connects them to their World Health Food Program account. See, this is the Internet of Bodies. Let me repeat this. The Internet of Bodies. And on the other side, when Bolsonaro says no and why, we can get a little deeper. And then we can show you the Pfizer CEO talking about certain medications that are part of the Internet of Bodies. Okay? Oh, look at these. They find work for them, the blockchain will. Oh, and it'll store your digital identity. Great. No need for paperwork for passports, exam certificates, financial histories, or, you know, things that are destroyed during conflict and seized by hostile governments. We'll just give you direct aid to the refugees. And we'll take away all those transaction fees. Let's centralize power with the blockchain. See? No need for cash or a bank account, especially cash. You could just have the World Food Program account right to your blockchain. Isn't that great for humanitarian aid? The WEF loves us. Okay. So here's the deal, guys. The links are down below to support me and to link up to where we're going. You can either come over to The Rockfin, where you can tip ski and hutch. You can also help the broadcast. And we're also now on Rumble. But I can't play this video. So yeah, we can't play this video because of what he says. But again, I'm going to show you a little bit just what he says right there. Brazil is autonomous and will not get into this. You can forget that. All right. I don't speak it. Oh, and there's the treaty. We are autonomous. We're going to play this clip. We're going to play Rand Paul on Jesse Waters. We're going to play the Pfizer CEO, and we're going to talk about a universal boop boop that gets talked about at the Milken Institute, which will be coinciding with what the Pfizer CEO has to say. So listen, if you're watching on YouTube, Arriva Durchi, see you later. We're going to Bolsonaro a little bit right now. So we're done. So here it is. Here's Bolsonaro. And again, I'm not trying to make the guy out into a hero, but he is one of the few people that is actually fighting this thing. Okay? One of the only statesmen that says, we're not getting involved in this. It's autonomous. You can forget that. I've already spoke to our foreign relations cabinet, and if that proposal goes forward, it won't be with Brazil. Remember the guy that got stabbed, and they let the guy who stabbed him out. Moreover, I was the only statement that didn't adhere to the lockdown policies. And again, just like in the United States, there were certain areas that locked down anyway, right? He says Sao Paulo had the worst rates and they locked people down. Wow. Couldn't say that on YouTube. Can't dare say that on YouTube. Nope. That's why we rockfinning and we rumbling. We rockfinning and we rumbling. So let's get back to it.
Eu fui o único chefe de Estado do mundo que não aderiu àquelas questões do lockdown. Único.
I said we had to take care of the elderly and people with comorbidities. And today, studies outside of Brazil especially show that I was right. And check this out. Which state locked itself the most in Brazil? São Paulo. Which state had the most deaths per 100K people? São Paulo. Yeah, it is a sign that he was right. Okay? And I want to play right now this video of Rand Paul talking to Jesse Waters about the WHO. And, you know, again, Rand Paul, he could go more hardcore, and Jesse Waters certainly isn't the best. But, you know, we're gonna give them a little bit of time right here, because Rand Paul, again, he gets it right here. He needs to go further. He needs to say this is the total takeover. But, you know, this is truth light. So here's Rand Paul on Jesse Waters talking about this quote-unquote WHO treaty that I couldn't really even talk about. You can't talk about COVID-1984. You can't say that mRNA and vector-based shots are bio-nanotech. You can't talk about reality on YouTube, okay? You can't do it, period.
Rand Paul, Kentucky senator, and he joins me now. Should the American people be scared when the richest people in the entire world get together at a swanky conference and hatch these crazy ideas about how to make our lives better?
Well, you know, if they really cared, they could have ridden with me. I was on a plane this morning. I was A category on Southwest Airlines, and, you know, hey, that's something. Wasn't a private jet, but they could have saved. When you're on a private jet, they're spending five times as much of a carbon footprint. So if they really cared about that, they could ride on commercial airlines, but they aren't. They're elitist. But the other real danger here that's even more danger than all their phony caring about carbon footprint, the real danger is this. Look how bad your government is in a country where you get to vote for these people. This would be a government, a world government, where you don't get to vote on anybody. This is everybody's worst nightmare. The bureaucracy that we have trouble in our United States because we don't get to vote on them, we vote indirectly. Can you imagine the one world bureaucracy of all these elitists and their private jets that would rule our country and we wouldn't get to vote? So I'm dead set against this. And they used to call people who talked about one world government, they used to say, oh, it's a conspiracy. We would always say, no, it's in their mission statement. They say it at every meeting. That's what they're for. But lack of sovereignty means lack of freedom, and it means lack of responsiveness, and it's completely antithetical to everything our country stands for.
Yeah, and I don't want to put down Bill Gates and these guys. You know, they do a lot for charity.
No, they don't. See, this is where Jesse Waters, see, and look at Rand. Rand's like, no, you need to. See, Jesse, stop, man. Do you want to go? Listen, Jesse, I know that I smoke weed and I'm just a simpleton, right? And I'm not a conservative, but stop with the bullshit, bro. These people do not like us. They do not love us. They are not contributing to society in a positive way. They are basically the ones that are distributing the technologies that then engulf the people. And unfortunately, as they empower the people in many ways, double-edged sword is technology. You can't keep it. You get the grip tighter and enslave the people. And these people with these foundations, they're not doing it out of the goodness of their hearts. They're doing it for the tax credits and the influence and the power. Period. That's what it is. The good guys club ain't so good. I'm going to come down on Bill Gates. He should be in prison.
But when you hear him kind of just dismiss inflation or, you know, you're going to have to go through some pain in order to kind of go with my idea. You know, the American people hear that and they think, come on, man, you're not serious, are you?
Come on, Jesse, you're not serious, are you? Okay, and again, this is why I just did this story. A lot of people, it's actually a good thing, okay? It's a good thing that we're in a recession. And predicts how long it'll last. He's like, oh, yeah, no, some of these people should go bankrupt. But it's not the people at the upper echelon, okay? And this whole idea of like a 1%, he says billionaires aren't the bad guys. Really? Really? They're not the ones being crushed right now, Elon. And don't forget, Musk or nuts. Let's get rid of the Muskerade here. He's the one who increased his wealth more than anybody during this thing. What do you think? He just became the good guy? Why? Because he talked about freedom of speech and buying Twitter? Like, what planet are we on? Right? So, Jesse, come on. Let's come out of the Johnny nonsense talking points. Rand, you've done pretty good so far. Bring it home.
But it's not only insensitivity because they've never been to a grocery store and have no idea what things cost, but it's also that we now have a whole set of our political spectrum that's out there saying it's caused by greed. If you were in a third grade class, I would give you a failing grade if you told me inflation was caused by greed. That is the dumbest explanation, the most implausible, and that lacking all facts that someone would try to put forward. Inflation is caused by an increase in the money supply. increases the demand. It's done because we spend too much money. The Federal Reserve prints it up to borrow it. It floods the economy and drives prices up. If you don't understand that, they'll never get it any better. And my prediction is it's going to get a lot worse before November.
What do you which is disturbing because it's really bad now. But once again, guys like me that said, hey, you can't just print all this money and then give it to people for not doing stuff. And I said, hey, what's going to happen is the middle class is going to be eviscerated and there's going to be a consolidation of power at the predator class top. And guess what? There was a consolidation of power at the predator class top. And now they're trying to codify it into law with these illegal treaties of medical martial law and tyranny. You get it?
Think about this tracking technology they're cooking up. They're going to track your carbon footprint. I mean, I think that these liberals are already stressed out enough, Senator. Yeah. Imagine when they find out, like, everything they do is killing the ozone. I mean, they're going to go crazy. They're going to start yelling at us.
But again, it's made up. So earlier in the clip, and we should rewind it, because he plays the clip, again, of these people. I didn't want to play it on YouTube. Oh, no. Where they talk about tracking your carbon footprint. Again, you're the carbon they want to reduce. Let's get it straight. Tracking your carbon footprint, the internet of bodies, blockchain people. That's how it all comes together, guys.
Yeah, privacy is not much of a concern for these kind of people. So not only do they want to track you for your carbon footprint, the WHO has announced, you know, they're forming a treaty, and it's going to be this treaty for the next pandemic. But in the next pandemic, it's not going to be a Washington-based mandate on vaccines or a Washington-based social distancing or mask. It's going to be an international one, and they actually want to track everybody with a QRS code. I think that goes beneath the surface right back here, but I'm not sure how they get it in yet, but no, I mean, it's no laughing matter. It is very worrisome, but whenever they talk about it, they have absolutely no concern for privacy, and you're exactly right. They don't care about the individual. They don't know people like us. They've never been on a bus. They've never been on Southwest Airlines. They've never driven a car. Most of them have never even driven their own car. So these are not the kind of people we want telling the rest of us what to do.
And yet their agenda pushes forward, right? So, you know, one of the things that Waters did do here, other than the one world government stuff, is right here. This is the tracking of the carbon footprint. Remember, internet of bodies, blockchain technology. And we're going to talk about the Pfizer CEO making you take medication that they know you took because it sends off an alert. The bio-nano era is here, just as predicted in that NASA Future Strategic Warfare document.
We're developing, through technology, an ability for consumers to measure their own carbon footprint.
Yeah, because consumers want to do that. No. The authoritarians want to do that so they can limit everything about your life.
What does that mean? That's, where are they traveling? How are they traveling? What are they eating? What are they consuming on the platform? So, individual carbon footprint tracker.
Oh, India is just great. No one's asking for that. But again, the authoritarian, transhuman, and really post-human monsters out there. So let's play this. This is the Pfizer CEO that recently admitted nobody wants their vaccines and they got to get rid of 30 million of them. And yeah, oh, maybe it was created in a lab.
It is basically a biological chip that it is in the tablet. And once you take the tablet and dissolves into your stomach, sends a signal that you took the tablet. So imagine the applications of that, compliance, the insurance companies to know that the medicines that patients should take, they do take them. It is fascinating what happens in this field.
Compliance. It's about compliance. You understand? Compliance. Maybe they don't like people like Bolsonaro that don't go with compliance and they reject this. Now, here's the universal flu vaccine being discussed at the Milken Institute. Think about this with compliance and blockchain technology and a track trace database society that goes under your skin in the internet of bodies, everybody.
Why don't we blow the system up? I mean, obviously we can't just turn off the spigot on the system we have and then say, hey, everyone in the world should get this new vaccine we haven't given to anyone yet. But there must be some way that we grow vaccines mostly in eggs the way we did in 1947.
In order to make the transition from getting out of the tried and true egg growing, which we know gives us results that can be, you know, beneficial. I mean, we've done well with that, to something that has to be much better.
And by the way, this is in October of 2019. So this is right on the run-up to Event 201, when what they call next generation and third generation and fourth generation vaccines is really gene therapy, mRNA, and vector-based.
You have to prove that this works, and then you've got to go through all of the clinical trials, phase ones, phase twos, phase three, and then show that this particular product is going to be good over a period of years. That alone, if it worked perfectly, is going to take a decade.
There might be a need or even an urgent call for an entity right. of excitement out there that's completely disruptive, that's not beholden to bureaucratic strings and processes.
So we really do have a problem of how the world perceives influenza. And it's going to be very difficult to change that unless you do it from within and say, I don't care what your perception is, we're going to address the problem in a disruptive way and in an iterative way, because you do need both.
See, think about that right there. He's telling you, we don't care. We're not going to do these trials. We're going to be the disruptors. How do you get people to look at influenza differently? Well, again, folks, it's time to come to the realization that they told you that the flu disappeared. Let me repeat that they told you that the flu disappeared. I want to read the number. Okay, during the 2019-2020 flu season, 400,000 people were hospitalized for the flu, okay, with 22,000 deaths. And then the CDC just recorded 165 hospitalizations. They were missing, okay, when they say some 400,000, that means probably more than 400,000. They're missing about 400,000 of those people who were hospitalized. They just said that's because they clumped it in. And even now, in May, for the numbers in 2022, let's refresh. Remember, they said 400,000 hospitalizations. Now we still have just about 150,000. You get it? And this is the 2021-2022. So the flu season's over. It's going to go away. So it's still at numbers way, way lower. Why is that? Well, because they've reclassified COVID-1984 as the flu in many of these cases. And they obviously did it hardcore during the actual nightmare. Let's let the Faucian gnome finish up here.
But it is not too crazy to think that an outbreak of a novel avian virus could occur in China somewhere. We could get the RNA sequence from that, beam it to a number of regional centers, if not local, if not even in your home at some point, and print those vaccines on a patch and self-administer.
See, we're talking about self-administered vaccines. He's talking about mRNA technology, disruption. They're talking about the Internet of Bodies. They're talking about compliance. That's what it's all about. So, folks, if you enjoyed this broadcast, number one, we still need you over at the YouTube, youtube.com/InfoWarrior. It's where all the documentary films are free, although you can find all the documentary films free. Also, right here, right now, at the Rockfin, Shade the Motion Picture at the top. I want you to share these films. I want to remind you, we are now on Rumblin. We Rumblin! I need followers. Listen, we got two channels there by mistake. I don't really know what to do, but obviously the one with the videos, the Info Warrior, that's the one I want you to follow me on. We have 144 subscribers. Let's get it to 1,000 within the first week and really start to build this channel, because we have to find other avenues of revenue if I want to expand. All right. And we got the Buy Me a Coffee. If you like what you see, I want to thank Elisha Kramer. And let's just go through. Do we have everybody down there? Kyle Jones, Luke Coughlin, and Colt. For taking the time to donate and support $5, $10, $15. Guys, it really does mean the world to me and allows me to do more and more of these broadcasts. Follow me on Twitter. And again, the documentary films are so key. Loose Change, Final Cut, Fabled Enemies, Invisible Empire, A New World Order to Find, and Shade the Motion Picture, free right here, right now. That's a great way to support me if you can't support me financially by sharing those with others. I absolutely love you. It is not about left or right. It's about right and wrong. And let us all become the great resistance to this very, very real transhumanist, post-human, great reset agenda. Oh, forgot. I didn't take myself off. Badowza!